You know, we were discussing earlier in the show, if you encounter a UFO, run like hell. And then I thought about my own single big experience of the triangle above our head with my dear wife, now passed, Ramona. And I recall that we not only did we not run, but we were frozen in place. We were in shock. And by the way, the shock lasted long after the experience. But as this thing passed over our head, we were standing adjacent to the car that we had stopped, and we just froze in place, absolutely froze in place. And I don't think we could have moved had we wanted to. And it strikes me as kind of silly at the time, in a sense, but it was shock, absolute shock. And after it was over, you know, Ramona was Catholic, very religious. She didn't want to talk about it. And that remained the case for years afterwards. She didn't want to talk about it. And in a way, I don't blame her, but I do recall the state of shock. And it just froze us, absolute froze us in place as this thing approached, then passed directly overhead, and then kept going. We just stayed frozen for, I don't know how long, 5, 10 minutes, something like that. It was interesting. Butch, what do you think about that? Run like hell is a good thing to be suggesting here on the radio, I suppose, if you believe they're not benign. But really, that kind of thing does absolutely put you in shock.
Yeah, and there's been so many other things happen with people that have stood underneath or gotten really close to them, where they've gotten radiation burns. A father and son down in the Bristol, Tennessee area, suffered some pretty serious burns, and I guess the father now has developed cancer. And then, you know, the Texas case where the two women and the child were burned when they got within range of one. So it's not so much the human mutilation factor or, you know, whatever. It's we just don't know what they are. We don't know if they can hurt you biologically or burn you, or they're radioactive. We don't know. The gentleman that Sergeant Pendleton that touched the UFO over at Rendlesheim, you know, ran his hand across it. You know, he said it felt warm. I don't think I would have done that. I mean, he's a brave guy, but I wouldn't have done it. I don't think I'd want to touch something like that. You don't know what you're going to get. One animal that was done in back in 67. I mean, the lady wanted, it was her horse, and she wanted to pick up a piece of the flesh that had been laying there, and some kind of green ooze came out of it and burned her. So, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be doing anything around them.
I absolutely went directly into a kind of a state of shock that lasted for some hours after the encounter. I couldn't have moved. I don't think I could have moved. And I guess I wanted to take it all in. I don't know, but I couldn't have moved. I can tell you that much. I suppose if something untoward had occurred, if, you know, some beam had come down or something, of course, by then it would probably have been too late. But I you know, something to cause me to really be in fear, I would have run, I guess. But I do understand how people just get frozen.
Well, you know, about maybe 6-8 months ago, I was privy to see another. And this one was quite different because it was pretty much daylight out yet. And I was leaving work and heading to my car. And I saw this very bright, I mean, brilliant white, almost like a flashbulb type of light coming across the horizon. And it looked like it was slowing down. And I'm like looking at my car, and I'm, you know, where I'm standing, it's a good 500 yards. I'm thinking, can I get to the car and get to the camera and photograph this and get back? No way. They'll find me laying there out of breath. You know, the ambulance will just cart me away. And I'm looking at this thing, and it does slow down. And it turns upright, and it turns the brightest red I've ever seen in my life and shoots straight up out of sight. And there was a gentleman standing beside of me, and I looked at him, and he was just agape. You know, the mouth was down around the chest area, and his eyes were focused forward and straight up. And I said, did you see that? And he said, that's the biggest helicopter I ever saw. And I said, there's no helicopter. He says, in my mind, that's a helicopter. I'm out of here. And he left. So I really had reservations about making that report. I'm thinking, nobody's going to believe this. So I thought, now, the hell with it. I'll make the report. So I make the report, and 5 minutes later, one of the investigators calls me and says, hey, I got an identical report to yours, and the time difference is only 1 minute off. And the guy was, and his wife were 82 miles north of where I was standing.
Wow.
And I'm going like, you know what? I'm going to quit looking up. I just, and people ask all the time, you know, how do you see these things? You know, look up, you know.
And most people don't. Most people go about their life looking at the road ahead of them or whatever is in front of them, but not up. You're absolutely right, Butch. Butch, I'm curious, where does your research go from here? I mean, you get to a certain point, you know, you've researched these mutilation cases and so forth.
Well, we'll keep that as, they keep the mutilations as an open case, and we'll always be checking on that. And, of course, the case of the gentleman up in Montoursville is an open case with us. And we have a couple other open cases, and we have some new cases. We just got done with a case in at the Bell Bend Nuclear Plant here in Pennsylvania, where a lady who is very credible, as she teaches police officers for a living, and she's traveling home on a road, and it's a beautiful blue sky, and there's just this one odd-looking cloud in the sky. And, I mean, she says it's the only cloud in the sky, so she grabs her camera and takes a picture of it and sends it to me after she downloads it and says there's something inside this cloud. So I look at it, and a couple of my guys look at it, and they're all going like, yeah, there's something there, but, you know, we don't know what it is. It just looks like a line. And so I sent it over to a fellow in England who took a look at it, who's an expert at that and is part of that Mars group that over there researches the Mars photographs. And he says, well, there's actually three objects in the cloud. At the bottom, the large line you see is a large saucer-type object. Above it is, at the 11 o'clock position, is a smaller saucer-type object with a beam going down to the larger one. And off to the right at about the 2 o'clock position, you have another one coming into view. And I'm like, that's great. And then so, now we're on the nuclear thing. And I want to tell you, there's more sightings of UFOs around nuclear plants in this country.
Right.
Than I ever imagined. I mean, they're constantly showing up. And I'm thinking, like, you know, okay, what do they need at a nuclear plant? I mean, these guys have propulsion that takes them through the galaxy at rates of speed, or they're interdimensional or whatever. But why the interest in the nuclear plants? And then you go back,
Butch,
where they did, they shut down complete nuclear bases where there were nuclear weapons.